Let's have a nice cup of TRE in the afternoon with Hannah Murray.
Joining me on the line now is Jen Pastiloff, who trots the globe as a public speaker, teaching writing and creativity classes. Her new book, Proof of Life, Let Go, Let Love and Stop Looking for Permission to Live Your Life, is an urgent rallying cry to stop holding back and start living life on your terms. It's Jen's account of how she reclaimed her voice and desire by radically changing her life. She did this despite believing that change equaled death. Ever since her beloved father died when she was 8. She shows us that it's never too late to begin again. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Hi, what an honor. I've never been to Spain. I can't wait.
Here we are. Welcome. Welcome to Spain. It's lovely weather we're having today.
Perfect.
Whereabouts are you?
I think I don't know if you know I'm deaf. I read lips, so it's going to be a fun time here. I think you said whereabouts are you?
Yeah.
With your adorable
accent. Yeah.
I'm in a place called Ojai. It's about 90. It's an hour and a half north of Los Angeles.
Oh, lovely! So I expect the weather's nice there too.
Today it can get really hot, which is gross, but today it's beautiful. Although I just woke up, I haven't been out yet. I'm not going to lie.
Good for you. Good for you. So let's talk about, before we talk about the book, I'd like to ask you about losing your dad at such a young age. That must have been so, so hard.
Yeah, it's so weird because I was dreaming about it and I kept declining the call I thought was spam from Spain. So it's funny you ask. Yes, and I thought it was my fault, you know, because he said, you're being bad and making me not feel good. And I screamed, I hate you. And then he dropped dead. And so as an 8-year-old, I decided I'd kill him. And but I didn't cry. I decided I had to be an adult. And I just shoved all my feelings back inside. And I operated like that until about, I don't know, honestly, a few years ago, I couldn't cry, nothing. I just trained myself. It's how I survived grief, essentially. But I decided I was a bad person and I walked around with that belief. And so, yeah, it was really hard on many, many, many levels.
Mm. And you felt guilty or felt guilt because of that for most of your life, haven't you?
To put it mildly, yeah, I felt guilt. And if I'm not careful, that kind of runs my life. I have to put it down every day, you know, because when you're so young, you're not done being formed. Not that we're ever done being formed, but yes, absolutely. And I never dealt with it, you know, as a kid. And so guilt is to put it mildly, yes.
Yeah. So what was the turning point for you? What changed? How did you pull yourself out of that constant guilt?
I call it the school of whatever works. And that is barring you're not intentionally hurting yourself or anyone else. So my new book really is about all the ways I found, and hopefully will inspire you to find too, whatever it is that you want in your life, you know. For me, it's to stay in alignment, you know, I didn't believe I got to be happy. And so how do I remember every day that I do? How do I remember every day that I'm worthy? How do I remember every day not to be an a-hole to myself, you know? How do I remember every day to, and whatever it is. So it's a daily practice, yeah. If you want to. Yeah.
And you talk about, I mean, the book covers so many different things. One of the things you look at is explaining to people that they don't fit inside one box. You don't need to think of yourself as having a label.
Yeah. I mean, are you just a radio host? That's it?
No.
Yeah, but I think, you know, that it's the way with books, you know, well, it's self-help. I thought, well, I'm going to do it my way. You know, there's a lot of humor in it and poetry and all sorts of things, but no one is just one thing, nor is life. You know, you could be in deep grief and experience deep, deep joy. And that feels surprising, but life is not just one thing, nor are people, especially moms. I'll say, you know, you're not just in just a box. And I'll see moms just start to bawl, weep, especially if that's how they've identified for a long time. And so it's really allowing yourself to discover all the things that make you you, and all the most magical things that make you you are invisible. I love that.
Yeah. And when people talk about themselves, like mothers as an example, as being just a mother, or I'm just a receptionist, or I'm just a whatever they identify themselves as, making out that it's not only one thing, but also something which isn't that important. And of course,
well, it's so minimizing, isn't it? It's so minimizing. And, you know, I have a thing, you can borrow it in Spain. It's called the Sorry Bank. And you send me or anyone $5 for every unnecessary sorry. And women do it a lot. Women do it a lot. But apologize if an apology is called for. But if you apologize for being emotional or for taking up space or for asking more salad dressing, but that's another way to apologize. It's just minimizing ourselves all the time. Mm-hmm. It's an apology. So the idea is that it's either going to break your bank or break the habit if you start sending $5.
And tell us what you did, because you did completely turn your life around at one stage. You left your marriage, you took professional risks, you fell in love with someone new, you went through a massive period of incredible change. Was that...
I really thought change equaled death, because as a small child, you know, my dad dropping dead, I thought, okay, well, if nothing ever changes, no one will ever drop dead, no one will ever leave, I am safe, which we know is a false, you know, that I fell into anorexia, whatever it was that felt like control. So it was like something, I had long been unhappy, but never named it. And I had a belief also that if I didn't say it out loud, it wasn't real, which we also know doesn't work. And then it slipped out that I wasn't happy. It was like something beyond me. But I think ultimately, I think there was something greater than me, if you want to call it, that realized, like, you have to do this before you run out of light. There's a poem by Mary Oliver, and the last line is, I don't want to simply end up having visited this world. And I think that finally got to me, and it slipped out. And once I named it, that's all I saw.
Yeah.
And then the chips began to fall. And yeah, I allowed myself love. And he's one of the stars of Mission Impossible, if you've seen the latest Mission Impossible. So... maybe they'll film one in Spain and we'll come visit.
Yeah, that would be amazing. What a powerful... That last line of the poem that you read out, that's so powerful, isn't it? And I guess that connects to not only happiness, but also purpose, our purpose, you know, the idea of thinking, you know, what is the point of my life? What am I here for? What am I here to do?
I'm glad you said that, because... I call BS on that often, because I'll be in a room with like 100 women and I'll say, how many of you know your purpose? And a few raise their hand. I feel like it's a setup a lot of the time. So our purpose is a day-to-day thing. And at the end of the day, I believe it's really just love. Because when you start to ask people, what's your purpose? The people that do know, whatever they say, ultimately under it, it's in some way to do or be love or connection, right? So like, do you know your purpose?
It's funny. It is something I've thought about, and I always kind of question and wonder and feel like it should be something bigger than what I'm doing now.
Should is an a-hole. I know I can't curse on radio. Should is an a-hole. Have you say that in Spanish? Quote me on that. And that's what I mean by it's a setup. It's like, I feel like this. So at the end of the day, it's like, did I do love? Did I come from love? Did I... Because I had this breakdown of like, what have I done with my life? And I realized at the end of my life, it's not going to be like, how much, you know, how good does she look in a bikini? How many likes did she have? How many followers? How many listeners on the radio? What did I do? I did love. And so I aim for that every day and whatever that looks like. So your purpose is a day-to-day thing. And also you get to change your mind. I think we forget that.
Yeah.
Your mind about what you want in your life.
Yeah. That's, I mean, the idea of change has been a big deal for you and something really, really difficult to get your head round. But it is such a liberating thing, allowing ourselves to realise that we do have a choice in
every breath.
Yeah, the decisions that
you
we make.
You get to begin again. You get to begin again as long as you can take a breath. And you can't argue with me there. If you're alive and if you're listening, you're sitting, you're alive. So you always get to begin again. And the imaginary time gods, imaginary, they are fake, that say you're too late or you don't get to begin again or whatever they tell you, some kind of timeline. It's not real. Mm-hmm. And yeah, change, as scary as it is or can be, it's the only thing there is, really.
You did a TED talk recently called Nothing You Do Is Wrong, which is a great title. What's that about?
That is about something my son, who was 8, said to me out of the blue. And I realized it's the thing I've been waiting to hear my entire life. And, you know, since my dad died, and I thought it was my fault. And I realized if I had said it to myself, I'd call myself a dirty, rotten liar. But this little innocent baby, as it were, it's the first time I saw myself ever with tenderness. He said it to me and I decided to believe him. And I thought, now obviously we're not talking about intentionally hurting anyone, but what if we go easier on ourselves? You know, there's this expression, at least in the States, that's like, I'm going to take a good, hard look at myself. And I thought, even if it sounds kind of corny, what if you take a good soft look at yourself? And, you know, my inner a-hole, that's what I call it. It says nothing you do is wrong. That's a lie. Everything you do is wrong. Everything you do is wrong. And so my son said that to me. And I thought, well, what a gift, because I would never look at him and say, you liar.
No.
And so I just keep hearing that voice. And then I decided to give it as a gift to the people listening to the TED Talk, because what if we let ourselves off the hook? Because we can begin again. Take a breath and begin again. Now, I'm not talking about obvious things. You know, like there's always going to be someone that goes, well, what about if you murder someone? You know, obviously. But things that we are so hard on ourselves for.
Yeah. And it's amazing when you get that, those comments from other people, particularly innocent children, you know, the idea of how other people see you when in general, as humans, we are hard on ourselves and self-critical, whether it's of our body shape or how much money we earn or all these different things that we can be critical
100%,
about.
100%. But I think you hit the nail on the head, but I think even more is the child thing. Because look, if you said it to me, I'd go, I forget in a second, or I just... But when a child, especially your own, and out of the blue, you know, so it did feel, I had that magical quality, like, where do you come from, little Buddha man? You know?
He came from you.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm like, my dead father had a hand in this one. I mean, when I say out of the blue, like, what? Where? Just out of the blue, because it's a random thing for him to come say. It's not like I've been walking around chanting, I'm, you know, getting it wrong, I'm doing it wrong. So sometimes, all the time, really, I believe things show up for us to really, you know, there's an expression, the teacher shows up when the student is ready. And I'll be damned if that ain't true. And the signs are all around, synchronicity, the teachers. So if we stay open, they're there.
Yeah. And this book is full of poetry, journaling prompts, confessions, reflections. It offers so much. Why is
funniness.
Why is it called Proof of Life? Where did that come from?
Great question. Because, you know, I had this friend who never had a child and really wanted one. And she had this story that, like, I have nothing to show for my life now and I don't matter as much. And I looked around and I realized how many people live their lives as if they have to show proof that they're worthy. Look what I did. Look what I made. Look at my new book. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. Look, aren't I worth something now? I'm on a radio show in Spain. Aren't I? Love me now. And all of that is, again, BS. We are our own proof of life. There is nothing I can show in Spanish and English and any language that will say, look, aren't I worthy now? Nothing ever. And it's the same with like getting to be happy or getting to be alive or getting to leave your marriage. There's no one you need permission from. It's your own self. You're your own proof. And so often we forget that. Look at social media, all of it. It's all like, am I relevant now? How do I stay relevant? I need to show proof. And it's easy to slip into that. And so the school of whatever works is all about finding ways to remember that we are our own proof.
What a great message. I'm grinning from ear to ear going, yeah, that sounds great. Really good. Well, if people want to get a copy of Proof of Life, it's available now on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Jennifer Pastiloff, who we've been chatting with. Jen, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really great to chat with you.
I can't wait to come to Spain.
When
it's translated in Spanish, I'll do a book event with you and we'll do the whole thing because I don't speak Spanish, but it's going to be good.
Oh, that would be amazing. Let's keep in touch.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Jen. Take care. Bye-bye.